Welcome to the Drama Free Podcast. Save the drama for your mama.
How's it going out there, Drama Free Beer Land? As always, I'm Chad, your host. I'm here with Joey. And we are on site of Toppling Goliath and a new brewery today. Clark is sitting right in front of us. Clark, go ahead and introduce yourself real quick.
Hey, hi there, everybody. This is Clark Louie from Toppling Goliath.
Guys, we're excited to be here. We're on pre-Assassin Day Eve, the first release ever at the new brewery. Fantastic brewery. We got to walk around a little bit before we got this podcast. And it's amazing. I like it. It's come a long way from the old tap room, which I like it. That's you know, reminiscent. I love it. I want to go buy it later just to remember the good times we had there. You know, this is a beer podcast, as I always mention, and we've opened a beer inside here to share with Clark. We're drinking Waldwerks French Toast Stout. Clark wanted to sample this for some research and comparisons, and we're okay with that. So, Joey, if you want to start with some questions.
Let's see what we're going to start. We'll start with a pretty easy.
Yeah, I can hit softball pretty well.
You can hit
like
softball.
We'll
try to lob it in there for you. Let's start with this one. Let's talk about your favorite non-Toppling Goliath beer.
Oh, that's always a tough question because I have a lot of beers that I really like to drink that are not our beers. Yesterday, I was drinking some fun beers. Our friend John Kimmich from The Alchemist sent us a box congratulating us on the new brewery. So we were having some Heady Topper and Focal Banger last night. So, you know, those were some of my favorites last night. Those were really nice. I just had a beer out in Massachusetts that really got my attention. It's from a brewery called Exhibit A.
Yeah.
It's a small brewery, but it really, really a nice beer. Of course, I like to drink beers from our neighbor right across the river from New Glarus. You know, very, very nice beers,
fantastic,
especially in the Midwest. Who doesn't like to zip over and grab a nice 12-pack of cans of Moon Man? Share with
great summer beer. Great summer beer.
You know, when I'm drinking some barrel aged beers, I always love Central Waters beers. Into some Bottle Logic beers being made from the West Coast. Doing a great job. Yes, exactly.
I brought a Bottle Logic beer out in the car, actually.
There you go.
If you have some time, we can open it up.
So also, I got to give a plug to my friend. Whenever I'm traveling down south, you can grab his beers, both his hoppy beers and his barrel-aged beers being made by Doug down at Cycle Brewing.
Oh, absolutely.
They're pretty nice beers to get your hands on right there. So he does a good job with all spectrums of what he's doing.
Love their stuff. Everything I've had, I mean, they're doing good work. They're doing God's work in the beer community for sure. So let's flip it real quick. What about your favorite TG beer? I know it's hard to pick one there, too, but what's your favorite?
That's really a tough thing to do as well because my palate was all over the place. So when I answer this question, I like to think to myself, if there were only one of our beers that I could drink all the time and that was the only beer I could drink.
Desert Island beer, yeah.
Exactly. Desert Island beer. I'd have to say it'd be a Pompeii. And, you know, there's all kinds of different beers jumping into my mind for first place.
Of course.
I love our Super Sumo. Our Pseudo Sumo is fantastic. But for me, I really enjoy the Mosaic hop.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we nail that hop, it's a lot of tropicalness. Specifically, I get a lot of pineapple out of it when we nail it. And to me, it's just a real nice, crushable beer. So that would be my beer. And I don't mean to offend Zealander. Pseudo Sue, who doesn't love Soul Sue, King Sue, but you know, if you're on an island and you're just drinking King Sue, yeah, it'd be great until you're cleared one and then it'd be the next day.
Exactly.
So that's why I would pick Pompeii.
So, you know, being local to Des Moines, and I'm from originally Davenport, we're seeing a lot of the new cans, and those cans have been phenomenal as you guys were dialing in the new tanks and the new batches. And I see King Sue is coming to cans soon. Is that confirmed, or was that a rumor in the beer world?
No, it's true. We do actually have the cans in-house, so everything is approved with our partner, the Field Museum, which the Field Museum changed their logo this year.
Uh-huh.
And they haven't done a logo change for, I think it's been 20 years. So they've got a cool new logo, and also everyone knows of our, well, hopefully everyone knows of our partnership and the attention we like to bring to their mission, the Field Museum. So we're looking at KSU being enhanced possibly in that May, June time frame.
Cool.
The cans are in house, and we do have a beer scheduled for our brewing cycle.
Such a good beer. 4-pack, 16-ounce cans?
It will be, yes.
Cool.
Looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. That's about as good as representation of the Citra Hop and the Double that
it's,
I can get my hands on.
One of my favorites.
It's a good beer, yeah.
I love
the logo, too. I mean, it's such a good beer. I mean, so. We'll turn here off the beer real quick. What's your favorite thing about Decorah?
Probably my family, I would have to say,
yeah,
for sure. Next to that is our lifestyle. I'm a very avid outdoorsman, and the hiking, the biking, and the fishing, and for me, bow hunting, mushroom hunting, time in the outdoors is pretty awesome here in Decorah. The lifestyle, the community is a very diverse community. It's just also a very friendly community here. So it's the type of place where you're going to be saying hi to people when you're walking down the street. People will go out of their way to help you. We all get along pretty good.
So small town personality still?
Yes, exactly.
Still college town too, right? It's pretty much a Luther.
It is. We've got a great college in town with Luther. The students are some really fun students. We do recruit Luther, we've had some great part-timers, and we've had some staffers that started as part-time and became full-time for Luther. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the support of their faculty,
mm-hmm,
and the support of the alumni, the parents and the alumni all give us
coming
to
town,
coming
to their kids, parents' day, weekends,
yes,
all that stuff. Yeah, absolutely. I like the location here. I mean, there's a lot more room, the brewery, a lot more people fitting in. So when parents come in for alumni week and see their kids, they can come in and everybody can be here as opposed to being packed in that old tap room, which I still love because I really love the glass.
Yeah.
The ceiling in that tap room was.
Had a lot of character.
It did.
You know, the feel there is a lot like your neighborhood establishment. And it's in such a way that it's very user-friendly to get to. It's not like you've got to go through a big rigmarole. You just walk on in, and there you go. You've got a whole group of people that will welcome you just like your their next-door neighbor. They'll talk to you about our beers. It kind of reminds me of what you would say a Cheers atmosphere would be.
Yeah.
Where, you know, people really want to get to know you, and they'll talk about beers with you, and they'll talk about the core with you. They're also interested in what brings you to the core.
Yeah.
So I find that pretty engaging. The good news about our small downtown location is that we did sell the building, so it's going to be opening up as a craft beer location in Decorah. They're not going to change the model very much. And, you know, there's been a lot of buzz about this. Some good. There have been some people that actually think, oh, this is a good way to get around the laws. It's really not true.
Yeah.
Because that account will hold a Class B license, and sure, they're going to sell our beer, but it's just like if the Rubion or T-Box sells our beer.
Yeah.
They still buy it through a distributor, and that's the way it works with their business.
Very nice. So is it going to be essentially like a bottle shop, or is it just a tap room?
I think it's going to be more of a tap room.
Okay.
I don't know their complete business model, but I don't think they'll have bottles to go also there, but you know, I'll have to wait and see their business model. I'm making the guy a little nervous. I'm taking a picture because I'm gonna put him on Twitter here pretty quick.
Oh, it's all right.
That's fine. Sure. I wasn't sure if you're trying to.
I saw the picture. You're fine.
Thank you.
Got my good hat on.
So we solicited questions on our Facebook page, on our blog or our podcast Facebook page, and
yes,
one of the questions is coming out of Cedar Rapids, and they're really looking. I guess I didn't really read the question before I posted it, but it says, when are you going to get some of these stouts on tap in Cedar Rapids, which your stouts are usually the big hitters. You know, you've got, you know, Morning Delight, you've got SR-71, you've got Assassin. I guess the question from the user or the viewer or listener was, when is a cake going to come? But you don't really have to answer that because that's what, you know.
You know, I can answer it. I can answer it. Cedar Rapids, we appreciate the love. You've been just critical for us. We cut our teeth in Cedar Rapids. And you know what? It's time we got you a King of Arbor style. So we'll put you on the map. I know typically the draw tends to be the Bird Fest, which is basically the marquee event for Iowa now.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the Des Moines Beer Festival is awesome. That's also the old festival. But, you know, it's time to get something fun for Cedar Rapids. So whoever that listener is, that asker, nice job. We're going to get it done for you.
All right.
I will mention something also about stouts. We talked with Brian. Mike has been working feverishly on a project we've been talking about for a while that will bring you a stout that is going to really be pleasing. The first time we made it with the second runnings of Morning Delight, and we call it Morning Latte.
Okay.
It's not going to be your Imperial stout, but it's going to be a really nice, creamy lactose stout, so it's basically a milk stout, and it's just going to be very, very encouraging to drink it, and it's based on the base of Morning Delight,
right,
which, as you know, is a big stout.
Yeah.
It's a lot of attention, even though it's not barrel aged. So we bring that to market. We'll also be looking to have that out in draft,
yes,
and that'll be hopefully
awesome.
Find many homes in Cedar Rapids.
Awesome. So
that's a breaking news, by the way.
Yeah, there
breaking
you go.
News.
You guys heard it here. We're breaking news. I like it.
Feels good.
So with the switch to cans, are you looking to do more canning as opposed to the bombers? What's the theory behind the 16-ounce 4-pack versus a 22-24-ounce bomber? Are you looking to make that switch? Are you trying to find a happy medium between the beers that you put in bombers versus cans?
Yeah, that's a good question. We really do like the can as our favorite vessel. We always planned on being a brewery that cans. We just think it's a vessel that travels better.
Yeah.
And it's a more appropriate serving than our 22-ounce bottle.
More responsive.
So
yeah,
what we're going to look to do, the beers that we make on a routine basis, all of those will eventually be in the can lineup. And the beers that we have the hops only make a couple times a year, or if we're coming out with something new, we'll kick out those all in bombers. We still want to continue to get you some great beers and bombers because, you know, we've done a good job with it. And you know, glass is good tasting beer also.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't travel well if you're going in to the parks or, you know, if you're out on a sandbar, actually, it's illegal.
It's illegal for glass, right?
You know, so you don't really want that. And, in my opinion, also, aluminum is recycled better. A lot of people don't know it, but a lot of the glass actually just ends up ground back in the sand,
yeah,
you know, again. So that's kind of our feelings about that. So you'll continue to see our bombers. It's just, you'll see as beer starts to get better and we start to align ourselves with more hop contracts, we'll move that over into cans.
Perfect. I like it.
Sounds good.
Any thoughts on crowlering too?
You know, when the crowler machine first came out, we were pretty excited. I was actually one of the first people to order it. And I ended up canceling my order, and here's why. The crowler can be really misfilled easily.
Oh, yeah.
So what we did.
Had this conversation last
yes,
night to a certain extent.
Oh, exactly. You're exactly right. What we did was we tested the crowlers. So we bought them from around the country and shipped them back to us.
Okay.
And one of the tests we did, we found an account that would send us a King Sioux crowler. And when we got it, it was absolutely horrible. We tested it. You know, it was chock full of oxygen, which is
yeah,
way too much oxygen in it. And so for us, we kind of thought about it. We thought, you know what? We're going to steer away from that because with a growler, people don't tend to recycle them. They tend to reuse them
yeah,
again and again and again.
Yeah.
With the crowler, it's one-time use. And you've got to recycle it. So we actually think it's not only a better vessel for the beer with your growler, we just think it's better for the environment not to use a crowler. So we're not going to have that direction. We do like stainless steel growlers. So.
Yeah, and they stay colder long. Yeah, I
yeah,
like them too. They're double insulated. Yeah.
We do like them. You got to be on your A-game when you fill them because you can't see it. But
right,
we've gotten pretty good at it. So we do encourage that. That was a great question. And you know what? Some breweries are filling growlers really good. You know, one brewery that I drink a lot locally when I'm there, is Forager Brewing Company
up in Rochester.
Up in Rochester. And, you know, you can't buy their beer in the marketplace, but you can get prowlers to go from them, and they do a great job filling them. Just like the Prince out of Barrel Theory. I mean, when you get a prowler of their beer, they absolutely nail it. You know, we've had some other prowlers, like I said, some local prowlers. We've had prowlers of our beer that just, you know, we run them through the lab, and it's like,
it just didn't hold up.
So,
Get past QA. I think that invites another question. You're more welcome to opt out of it. But BrewHub and what happened with Sudosu or what? I guess
The BrewHub cans, you know, especially when the new cans from the new facility hit the market and the old cans from BrewHub, I think that's where you're going, right? It's the difference in the quality.
Much different. So basically what you're tasting is the difference between the water profile in Florida and the water profile in Iowa. So we just have much better water here.
Of course.
So the plan with that was, and I have to say, I still am really proud of the partnership. I understand the difference in taste of beers where our beers are in the market. But that really helped us say, all right, if our beers were packaged in cans, would the consumer think they would be good beers that could be established in demand, which we get, you know. States that wanted our beer were not getting any of our beer.
Yeah.
So they were actually pretty happy when we started to get our beer from our partnership in Lakeland. So they thought, hey, this Sudosu is pretty damn good pale ale for a fair price.
Yeah.
You know, and we did get a lot of laugh, especially from our local consumers that had tasted our beer and just knew that we made it cleaner.
Yeah.
It was a much cleaner beer. So
yeah,
I will say that partnership, it has ran its course. I'm very proud of the partnership still. And by us creating the volume with them, which is exactly their mission, it's where small breweries come to grow, it gave us the confidence to build this brand new $15 million facility here to take over all of that volume. And you can see it, and I know you can taste the difference.
Yes.
We hear it. Although it's funny, just last week, I got a complaint, and all complaints come to me, and the complaint was, oh, what is wrong with your beer? It's much better when it was clear and filtered beer from Florida. That has not, you know, that's been into my party, but there are people out there that are saying that.
You can't please anybody when it comes down to it. I mean, you know, I was very happy to see it start brewed in house and bring that Decora Sioux and that, you know, that Decora Golden Nugget. The Golden Nugget, first run of Golden Nugget was bar none one of the best Golden Nugget batches I've ever tasted.
Hey, thank you for that.
And
I'm just bumping right now.
Yeah, and I come up here quite a bit, and I really love it. I'm one of those, you know, hyped haze boys. You know, I really love the hazy, and that Golden Nugget was just, I mean, the Imperial Golden Nugget. Actually, this leads me to another question that's not even on our list. Is Imperial Golden Nugget coming back? Because that was my most favorite beer.
Yes.
I love it.
It will never go away. And that will be one of those beers that it probably won't hit the canning cycle.
Right.
But at least a couple times a year, we got to make it because we got
to
make it.
I like the bombers too because I can bring a bomber of something quality to a share or to a friend's house and we can all share it as opposed to canned where you have to bring two or three cans to make sure everybody gets some.
Speaking of haze, we've got a haze from
Treehouse.
Yeah, they're making some great beers out at Treehouse. As you guys know, Mike and Nate get along pretty good.
Yeah.
We had a fun time before they grew into their new expansion. They came to our previous brewery, which was a 30-barrel system, and we made beer together, and also we made beer in their brewery. It was a fun double IPA called David.
Okay.
It was really, really fun to have them come and make it. Very great people, obviously, they're making fantastic beers too. So
let's do a collaboration with them.
Another one?
We demand it. The hosts of Dumb Free Beer Radio demand a collaboration. No, actually, I've enjoyed all the collaborations you've done. Most recently, he came back, Joey here came into town, and he was looking to do a barrel-aged chain smoker. And I ended up having one, and we opened it, and it's drinking fantastic, by the way, still to this day. And I was here for the release, or at the old tap room for the release, and it's still drinking amazing. And that was a collaboration with Cycle.
Yes.
Do you guys have, now that you're growing into the new brewery and you're growing in, you know, and you've got over the growing pains, or
almost over the growing pains. I don't want to say you're over because I don't know from experience, but do you see doing more collaborations in the future?
Yeah, we do. I hate to let the cat out of the bag. But
well, you don't have
really,
to.
We've got a couple of pretty powerful collaborations lined up right now. And
awesome.
I think people are going to be pretty excited when they hear about it. Also, the second beer we did with Cycle Brewing is called Homestate.
Yes,
which,
that's right.
Which is pretty cool. That was a really fun beer to make.
I never got to try that one, but I've heard good things.
Oh, man. It was really fun beer to make because when we make beer, for both of the beers, we wanted to do something different than the consumer wanted. Right away, the consumer wanted us to make big stouts in for both class, and we did not do that for either one.
Yeah.
So we had a really fun time with chain smoking. We thought, how can we top this or at least equal it? So we made a barrel-aged strong ale. The caveat was they lined up some pepper honey. So this honey came from pepper fields, and only the bees only pollinated pepper plants. So I was excited. I thought, what is this honey going to taste like, you know? And right away you think, oh, maybe garden taste, maybe spicy, whatever.
Yeah.
What was amazing is it was straight pure citrus.
Interesting.
It was
really okay.
I think it's the most amazing honey I ever tasted. Just citrusy and marshmallowy, and just it was really good.
Yeah.
So that went into the beer. They call it Homestate. In honor of Doug's Homestate, and it's a really nice barrel aged strong ale.
It's awesome. It's fun talking about collaborations because this weekend is Collaboration Fest in Denver. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So maybe someday we might see you collaborate with somebody in Denver. It's an in-state type of thing. So a brewery gets to do essentially two collaborations. I think that they flex the rules, but two collaborations. They tend to collaborate with one in-state, so you're collaborating with a brewery in the state of Colorado. Then you can usually bring someone in and do one from out of state. So
that'd be fun. We have friends at Crooked State, so they come right time.
There you go.
That'd be awesome.
There you go. So remind our listeners, how long has Top and Goliath existed in its, you know, what it is today? How long
has... Thank you for that. We started in 2009, and we started brewing a half-barrel system, basically a Sappho pilot system. So in 2010, we acquired a 10-barrel system. We brewed at that until around 2013, 2014, we bought a 30-barrel system. And now, last year, we pulled the trigger and bought this beautiful 100-barrel Steinecker brewhouse, which is an absolutely phenomenal brewhouse. We pulled out all the stocks on this brewhouse. And if you get a tour with me or Mike on it, you'll see the details as to why now our beers, even though we've scaled up so large, are tasting just as juicy as we've ever made them, if not better. So we're pretty excited about that. Also, we still own all of our brewhouses. So we have a 10-barrel brew house that we're planning on building another brewery on site. It'll be a complete separate location. It's basically going to be Mike's playground where we're going to do nothing but sours. And we have a 30-barrel system also that we're looking to give a home somewhere out on the West Coast for our expansion out there.
That's awesome.
There we go. That was actually a question. Is the rumor true? Are you expanding?
It's true. We have a consultant hired. We've been looking at real estate pretty heavily out there. The Seattle market is a fantastic beer market. A lot of great breweries. The thing about it is it is such a great beer market that there's always room for more great breweries. You know, your average breweries and your macro lagers, not so much.
Right. Now, the question here we have is, with that topic, is looking back to when we got started, did you ever, I mean, every business, you know, person imagines something, you know, but did you ever imagine you'd make it to this, to right here, right now, on Drama Free Beer Radio Podcast, no, I'm kidding, here in this awesome, amazing facility, on the Evo Assassin Day, one of the best, you know, and biggest stouts on the market, did you ever imagine that you would be here today?
You know, I have to be honest, I can't imagine that I would have thought like this. I hoped we could make some really good beers and survive in this local market and do well in it. I really didn't imagine we could become this popular so quickly and really have our popularity not fade but be growing, especially the way breweries have been popping up and how great breweries are. I mean, great beer is really local now. itself. There's not too many places where you can't go a handful of locks and drink some really great handcrafted beer.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm pretty fired up that we did that. You know, I started the company as a hobby business, and now it's my full-time job. So
it's a beautiful thing, though.
It's pretty exciting. As you know, we're all in. We're in 12 states and 4 countries. So, you know, we're just going to continue to march forward and to be very thankful for our fans. That we get, we know you're not going to drink our beer every day.
Yeah.
I don't drink our beer every day. But you know, if we can join you a day or two during the week, we're going to be really happy with that.
That's wonderful. That's really, really
so
wonderful.
Would you change anything or one thing you've done so far? Would you change it? And if so, what would it be or what would you have done in that instance?
If I could change one thing?
That you've done to now. You know, is there something that, you know, you wanted to change about Toppling Goliath?
Or if you look back over the now 9 years, almost 9 years, is there something that sticks out, like maybe we shouldn't have done that? I don't want to call it a mistake because there are always lessons, right? That's just a way to learn. But is there something that sticks out in your head where you're like, man, we should have done that differently?
Oh, there's been a number of things that I wish I wouldn't have done that I did anyways. But I can't really wish it away,
of course,
because it's been a part of the learning curve and what has made me recognize how to lead this company properly. And I can say probably the biggest thing is when we had our tap room and our production brewery separated, because us brewers lose touch with our bosses, the customers.
Yeah,
right. And now that we finally made the decision to do this and we have everyone together, that has really been great for us. So probably what I would have did differently is I would have shut down the downtown tap room when I built our first new project. So the first new brewery was 12,000 square feet. This is actually our third brewery in Decorah. It's our second new build. So I would have did that a little differently and shut it down downtown.
Great,
awesome answer. I like that.
Yeah.
So word on the street here is you like whiskey. What is your favorite?
So I have to say, you know, Mike has really opened my eyes to great bourbons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right now I'm drinking some pretty nice stuff. So we have a little whiskey. I mean, we have Pappy, which is obviously great. I love the Pappy 20 year myself. There's been a few bourbons that have been really, really special. One thing, I just have a little bit of Willet.
Yeah, okay.
Which is really nice. I think Four Roses is doing
great work as well.
Doing really nice work, I have to say. So basically, I put those right there on the top of the line. But this is where you've got to get Mike involved with the podcast and just let him tear through this, and you'll see. He'll see as much knowledge about bourbon as he has knowledge about beer, which that's an exciting direction that
marries well. Yeah, I think
it's unfortunate that the state of Iowa has such archaic laws and won't allow a brewery to be a distillery as well. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous.
We've got one of my local breweries in Denver. They're flirting with the idea of trying to figure out how to wiggle into being able to do that in the state of Colorado, being essentially a distillery and a there's great efficiencies there between mash and between being able to have whatever barrels you want, whenever you want. So
there is. Yeah. Mike gave me a special little bottle for a fun elk hunting trip if I was successful, and it's Michter's Rye.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, it's nice.
Great. It's a beautiful.
So I would recommend that if you can get your hands on it.
We've got a good rye brewery here in the state of Iowa, or still here in the state of Iowa.
We do. We do, and thank goodness the laws were loosened up a little bit to let them make more of their great bourbon.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
So we have a tradition here on the podcast. We're 25 or so episodes in, and we have a question. It's a non-beer question, and it probably will get a laugh out of you, but it was a goofy question. But I always ask it, and I need to know your answer. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yes, it is.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it is. And actually, it can be a gourmet sandwich, and here's what I'm talking about. And also, a burger could be a dog, and they're burger dogs, but if you take that gourmet hot dog, you've got all everything perfect on it. Sometimes you slice it in half, sometimes you don't, but you know what? It's in your hand. That's a sandwich.
I like it. You know what? I'm not going to let my other co-host live this one down. Clark from TG said it's a sandwich. It's settled then. So.
You set me up on that, by the way.
We like to break it up a little bit.
We do.
I want to ask one for Siv. This is going to be year 9. You started 2009. Obviously, next year is going to be year number 10. Do anything special for the 10-year anniversary?
Or
from a brewing
go
standpoint.
Cow the bag if you're painting.
No, you don't have to. But from a brewing standpoint, if you got you got a year and a half, 2 years, you have to start thinking, well, you're going to brew something special for it, especially if it's going to end up in a barrel.
We've been thinking about that. We're always working on special things, and so right now we have one pretty great stout named after pretty well known aircraft. And that's about to come through again. So as an Air Force veteran, I could see another aircraft zooming through our history.
I appreciate that.
So
thank you for your service, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Do you real quick? You guys can't see this, but do you guys on the pot? Do you have this on your tag ID?
Yes, I do. Thank you for your service as well.
Thank you. So, getting back here, we have a hard-hitting question here. It's going to be really hard for you to answer. Do you have a pet? Awesome. I like it.
Well, I tell you, I've had dogs all my life, had cats. I currently don't have any pets because of my travel schedule. But I've had dogs, cats, fish, lizards, which there's actually one lizard I would love to get. I met a really cool bearded dragon.
Okay.
This bearded dragon that came to our morning delight release.
Really?
And it's really neat because I actually put a picture of it on Twitter because when I went to meet the lady, he jumped right on my shoulder. So, I always really enjoyed reptiles and amphibians as a child. So, I've had all those as pets. But right now, currently, nothing. I will have some pets over the summer. I usually have my own night calling farm for fishing. So the ones that are lucky get released in the fall.
That's awesome.
I think we have one last question over from our viewers, and we're getting near the time that we were scheduled for. One last question here from one of our listeners is there going to be, are you planning on doing a stout that's going to be on, besides Rover Truck, a stout that's, I say top tier, and be on draft all the time at the tap room. Do you have any plans to do something like that?
Yes, we have been talking about that. So we have a pretty nice stout. We've used it as our base that we're thinking about refining. It's called Norseman's Wrath.
Yeah, okay.
So we've been talking about that, and that's basically an imperial stout. So the Morning Latte is going to become our everyday stout that's going to sit and coexist with Rover Truck.
Okay.
Right there, it'll taste different with,
obviously
with the lactose added, it'll have a little bit creamier feel, be a little lower ABV, but we have been working on having an imperial style non-barrel aged soon. So also soon, we also plan on having a barrel aged stouts on tap at the tap room all the time.
Okay.
It's going to take us a while to come into that, and you guys probably remember this. I'm pretty sure I saw you there, but I think you were there when we had our barrel aged stouts on tap. It was our what do we call that series?
It was the different adjuncts, right? Let me look at my
head. Yeah, it was all the different barrels. It's crazy when your own beer you make so many beers that one loses your mind. It was our experimental stouts, and we did something different with it.
Because there were numbers behind it.
Yes.
I remember that.
Turmoil.
So, yes, because you had different numbers, and each one was a different.
We did something different with that, and we are going to do that for the consumer. So what we did with that, we had a really nice barrel aged stout, and we thought to ourselves, what we normally do with our barrel aged stouts, we bottle them, we have a release, they're gone. A lot of local stuff gets trying, a lot of people don't get trying. So the Turmoil project actually had barrel aged stout for Top Gun Goliath. on tap for 8 months. And what we had to try was individual barrels and blends of barrels. In each one, we let you know what you were trying. So it was really fun to come up. I know I remember seeing you there.
I came up for every Turmoil Innocent Undressed. Proud to say that. Every time that a new Turmoil number was put on, I drove up. I was in Davenport, so it's a 3-hour drive, which is an easy drive for good beer. So,
yeah, of course. I did.
I'm proud to say on my own tap, I have every Turmoil ticked. And they were all delicious. Definitely really good, really worth the drive.
Yeah, that's something I'd like to see more. I mean, especially, you know, in Denver, we've got a couple really good breweries that are doing barrel-aged stouts and things like that. I would like to see them do that a little bit more, where it's essentially a featured barrel or a featured type of bourbon. Like, you're doing, this stout was in a Woodford Reserve barrel, this stout was in a, you know, whatever barrel. I'd like to see that a little bit more, where you're actually featuring the whiskey or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, is there anything that you want to, tell us about TG? Is there anything that we should look forward to besides, obviously, tomorrow, the first release in the tap room? Is there any
millions of people are listening?
Millions of people.
Oh, I already knew that. I'm appreciative that you all are listening.
Yeah.
One thing I can say that's going to be very exciting the next couple of days in Decor, even if you didn't get a ticket to come to the release, we do have our staff supporting around town. Let's get into those events. Come in also, if you're here for our opening, we'll have some staff in here. Should be able to get a pour. We're hoping it'll last. You're going to see a lot of fun things happening with us as we start to get into our stride here. You got a chance to check out the brewery. You notice we have about 30,000 barrel capacity with the tanks we have. The infrastructure is set up to grow up to 100,000 barrels. As we do that, we're going to continue to create new and exciting brands. And we're going to bring, as we've done our hot crime fast, to bring some of our brands that people are really digging in the cans. Like, for instance, we talked about King Sue. Well, imagine Sosis is going to be heading that same direction. So that's a really fun double IPA. We'll get that in cans. To tell you the truth, we're also working on a Pilsner that we think is pretty exciting.
Okay. Wow.
You know, and you know, our take on a Pilsner is, you know, there's a macro lager that's kind of giving Pilsner a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really exceptional Pilsners that's being made right there. And we've got a few other beers that we think are going to get the attention of the nation. And we're working on a Forever beer with the Field Museum.
Nice.
It's a very unique beer. So when that beer was released by the Field Museum sometime around September, that's definitely going to be a beer you're going to want to seek out and try. So I think you'll just continue to see us driving towards innovation and moving with the ebb and flow of the market as much as we can, considering how challenging it is for breweries today to align themselves with good hop contracts.
Right. We have a local brewery in Des Moines that's been, I've talked about contracts before. And we've talked about it on the podcast as well. So you mentioned how many states you're in and all the distribution you have. Are you looking to, you know, keep expanding that? Do you want to be in all 50 states? And do you want to, are you trying to be, you know, exclusive and keep it kind of, you know, there's an exclusivity, I didn't pronounce that right, but there's a limitation here where you kind of want to keep it and it brings that draw to you. Are you worried about that, or do you want to keep expanding and get your beer out there to the masses?
What we want to do is continue to grow in select markets. So recently you probably noticed we moved to the Massachusetts and Rhode Island market.
Yeah.
This is something that Mike and I actually started to talk about 5 years ago. We started to plan for it a little more 3 years ago, and a year ago we started to really fine-tune the plan. And there's a reason we moved to that market, and we're very selective with the markets we move into and the partners we move with. So, no, we don't. We do want to be known nationally, but we don't necessarily have to be a national brand. We don't have to be available in every state. The last thing we want to do is overgrow. You know, you're seeing some breweries right now. There's an East Coast brewery. It's been a brewery for 20 years shutting down.
Green Clash.
Green Clash. Yeah,
that's a great example. That's not what we want to do.
Well,
So, you know, our goal is to be selective, to find those markets. Like Boston is a beer town.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely a beer town, and that's why we fine-tuned the plan to go there. And
they are.
They are. And it, actually, it's a great lager town. Our Dorothy's Lager is so well-received out there. You know, we got Jack's Avenue out there.
Of course.
You know, it's really nice.
You can only go up from Dorothy's, too. Dorothy's a solid, you know, everyday drinker. So
it's a gateway beer.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't know, more are getting to know, but that is the beer that started this brewery. You know, it was an important beer in Northeast Iowa for the consumer here. But more importantly, as a home brewer, it was that beer after I brewed it. And my brothers liked it. They were drinking like 61 or 38, whatever.
Yeah.
The
super light beers. They hated my beers because they were happy, bold. You know, they said, oh, Barkley beers are terrible. They drank Dorothy's and they actually liked it. It wasn't a beer for me, but I thought, you know what? My brothers would drink this beer. I could start
with other people are going to do
it. You know, that's what happened. When you take the Dorothy's that Mike throws down, it's a phenomenal lager. It's not my everyday beer. You know, I'm a hop guy, but there's a lot, you know, it's right up there in our top one or two selling SKUs month after month.
It was, so was there, speaking to Dorothy's, was there a beer, was there a moment where, it had to be 2009, it could have been in the last few years even, where you realized that this is going to work? Like, from a business standpoint, I'm a business guy. At what point did you realize, we've done this, we're going to do this?
Yeah, it was. There was that aha moment. And, you know, when you're brewing on a half barrel system, you're just going to lose money.
Yeah.
When you're brewing on a 10 barrel system, you're just going to lose money.
Yeah.
Especially in a small town like Decorah. You can make it happen in a city and be fine, but not in a small town. So, you know, about the time we got the 30-barrel system going, and the first time that Mike and staff kicked out our hoppy beers through that system,
yeah.
And I tasted those beers and what we could do from that point, we bought a fantastic bottling line, the same one that Benny has at Russian River. Tasted those beers after sitting in the bottle for a month. That was the aha moment that, you know what, people are going to be digging this pseudo sewer. Now we can finally make enough of it to move these bombers around and to start to get some attention. So that was the aha moment about 90 days after we put the 30-barrel system in full-time production.
Awesome.
I've been all in ever since.
That's a good place to be. It's a really good place to be.
So we're about out of time. Joey, do you have any... parting questions?
I don't have any questions at all. I do appreciate your time.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't be prouder to be on your podcast. I look forward to doing it again. Absolutely want to get Mike involved, please. And you know what? Let's do it. Let's do a 10-year anniversary podcast.
I like it.
That'd be really fun.
I like the way you think.
It'd really be fun if we could be the first ones to try it. Special beer right here.
I like it.
That'd be wonderful.
We'll put the date down. I'll have Jessica send me the details after this.
You got it.
Is there anything that you want to tell our listeners before we end the show?
There is. First off, I want to say thank you for supporting craft beer in general. It's what we've done is phenomenal. We're in the golden age of beer right now, and it's not going back. Everyone knows it. So thank you for your support of craft beer. As far as top line volume goes, we couldn't be more excited to have new customers understand your place in what we do. We love to hear from you, whether it's good or bad. Just be fair. If it's good or bad, we listen very seriously to your comments that are good. And if there's something that has run astray for either your palate or your taste or for what we've done, we love to hear that as well. So we're really, really easy to get a hold of. If you send an email to brewery@tgbrews.com, everyone in the company. So we really enjoy that. Really enjoyed my time with you guys today. And I've enjoyed sharing beers as well, especially, you know, when we found out it was turmoil. And that could be why maybe we're a little fuzzy on that. It was turmoil.
Yes, it was.
Yep, it was. So thank you for your time again. And I think that's it. I think we've talked about everything we want to talk about. I heard everything we want to talk about. We appreciate your time. I appreciate Joey coming all the way in from Colorado.
Thank you.
And thanks
for coming up from Des Moines too.
Yeah, we're looking forward to tomorrow. The festivities out in town tonight.
Yes.
So thank you. And we're going to end the show. Joey has a saying that he always tells our listeners.
Everybody be well.
Stay drama free, guys. We are out.
Cheers. Guys, it's one of my best.
Welcome to the Drama Free Podcast.
Best.
Save the drama for your mama.